the criminal justice system failed us. So we are pursuing with a civil litigation. And that really is, I feel there's a moral duty here. I need to send a message that brutality from anyone with use of force authority will not be tolerated, and further, that indifference kills.
That is the voice of Denise Warner Smith, who said on this show Wednesday that her family is going to be moving forward with civil action against the University Health Network and five security guards involved in the 2020 hospital death of her sister, Stephanie. And Stephanie was a 43-year-old mom to five kids who died suddenly while in the care of two security guards who ended up getting into a dispute over the mask Stephanie was wearing, which was under her chin. This suit, now we have a dollar amount, is $16 million. And the reason the family had to go this route is because the judge dealing with the criminal side of this case abruptly tossed it out, deciding back in November that there wasn't enough evidence in the case, despite the fact that there was video showing the guards and Stephanie together, the initial confrontation, witnesses who said they saw the alleged confrontation, and one of the guards admitted to lying that Stephanie had assaulted them. I want to bring in Asha James to this conversation, a partner at Falconers, someone who is involved in this case. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me this morning.
Stephanie's family had to turn to you because they feel failed by the system, and I've been following this case, and when I read that it had been tossed out, I was stunned that it went this way because the Crown didn't even bother to appeal, but I don't know how there wasn't enough evidence. So why was it thrown out?
I mean, the decision is lengthy, and what I take from the criminal judgment and the appeal of that, the judge's decision, was what he said was that they didn't know that what they were doing could lead to death, you know? And I think that's disappointing, kind of given the role that they have and as security guards and authorized to use force. I think it's pretty common knowledge that applying pressure to somebody's back can result in cardiac arrest. I mean, we've been knowing that for a number of years. And so, that's what I would expect that these security guards would have been trained on.
Yeah, but if the judge comes to that decision on his own, I mean, why not put that to a jury? It's like you've got the video. It doesn't tell the whole story, but certainly the witness, witnesses who say they saw this could fill in the blanks of when that camera turned away. And also the fact that the guards apparently weren't truthful in saying that Stephanie had assaulted them. So I'm looking at it saying, okay, well, I'm not sure that's for the judge, unless it's a judge alone. It became a judge alone trial, but why they wouldn't put that in front of a jury. And it doesn't necessarily, and correct me where I'm wrong, that the Crown was all that hungry to get this in front of a jury.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I can't speak for the Crown how they saw the case and what they wanted to do. I can say that, you know, obviously the family is really disappointed with the decision. And, you know, we thought that the evidence was there. And as I said, you know, we've been knowing this for years. We go back to the case of Patrick Shand in the grocery store. We have inquests on this, right? This is stuff that we've known for a number of years, that holding people in prone position with weight to their back can have really catastrophic results. And so if that's not what they're trained, you know, that's problematic.
So in the suit, it alleges that the 43-year-old's death was the direct result of the actions of the guards that day. I think we learned that the hospital failed to contact the family 11 days. So this woman ended up never regaining consciousness. But 11 days after the incident, they're still totally in the dark about what happened before her death.
Yeah, that obviously for Denise, who's was very close with Stephanie, I think that's probably one of the most hurtful parts of everything is to know that your sister was there alone, right? With no access to family, nobody to advocate for her care, nobody to just sit with her, and offer her peace and comfort, just nothing, all on her own.
Now, does that mean her five children would have also been in the dark?
Yeah, no, nobody in the family was aware that she had, that this had happened, that she had been in ICU, that she was unconscious and unresponsive. Nobody was aware.
That is stunning. Stunning, you know, in so many, I hadn't heard that. And so I think it takes it to a different level. Certainly why the family is so determined to get justice, to be locked out of those kinds of moments and decision-making. It's completely, completely unacceptable.
Yeah, I just, as a family, I can't imagine the type of pain, especially when you have close relationships, right? And so to not know that this has happened and that this is where your sister is. And in a circumstance where, you know, Stephanie had been in the hospital before, they knew who her family was. They, you know, they had contacted them previously. And so I think that's the most, well, I shouldn't say the most, but one of the most painful things for the family in all of this.
Yeah. And this woman, I mean, she had mental health issues. The hospital, I think, would have known that. But the suit, you know, alleges that the use of force was excessive, unreasonable, not justifiable. But, you know, they didn't have, as I understand, even the right to confine her, did they?
No, from what, you know, what's come out in the criminal, and I think that's a real question, right? She wasn't there under any kind of form. She was free to leave the hospital. We're all free to refuse medical care. She didn't even do that. You know, she was down there trying to get a sandwich. She was hungry. You know, fine for the security guards to ask her questions. But from our perspective, they had no right to even engage with her in any kind of physical way.
The criminal side and the civil side of courts are very, very different. And some will use the civil side because they'll say there's a lower threshold that you have to meet. Whether or not that's why the family has turned to this. I get this distinct impression that they're determined to get justice in some way or another. That's why they have to turn to the civil courts. What's the most challenging part of this case for you?
Well, I think first I'd say that the family had always considered and was going to go the route of the civil route, regardless of what happened in the criminal proceeding. It was never going to be one or the other. And, you know, obviously the hardest parts of these cases is that nothing you do, doesn't matter what happens at the end of the case, is ever going to bring the family members back, right? And that's really what they want. And so that's not something we can offer. And so that, you know, obviously is difficult. It's difficult for clients. It's difficult for families. No amount of money is ever going to replace the loss that they've suffered. And the loss of the relationship with Stephanie. And so I think that's the most difficult part, right, is dealing with that actuality, that reality, and still understanding that, you know, we're in a legal proceeding that's bound by laws and precedents and things of that nature.
Yeah, no question about it. I say this is a case to watch, and no question you guys are on it, so it will be now. I very much appreciate your time on this, Asha.
Thanks very much, Alex.
That's Asha James, who is with Falconer, the lawyer's office that has now been brought into this case. And if you ever want a lawyer on your case, I think a guy like Julian Falconer, they're one of the top firms. So, you know, involved in some very, very big cases. So it will get heard and now it will get attention. I mean, you imagine those final days, not being able to see your loved one, but not even being told that your loved one, to me, that's completely unacceptable. It's horrifying, in fact. And don't forget, this was at the height of COVID. The chaos of COVID. And I'm sure it'll all be blamed on that, but it shouldn't be because I think this case is a travesty.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
3 nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back, massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle. Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.